Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon today is found recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes in the third chapter, verses 1 to 11. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior, dear Christian friends, when was the last time you went through a whole day without using the information made available to you by a clock? I dare say we'd probably answer, all of us, this question, well, I don't think there are too many days, if any, that we don't use clocks. We use alarm clocks to wake up in the morning. We punch time clocks at work. Our smartphones have clock apps displayed on the home screen. Some of us still wear wristwatches. We find ourselves glancing down at the wristwatch various intervals during the day. We're always thinking about what time is it. It's time to have lunch. Time to walk the dog. Get out the door and cart my child to the latest school event. Time to get in the car and head down the road to join my fellow Christians in worshiping Jesus at church. We're always thinking about time. In our message this morning, we want to reflect upon who is the creator and owner of time. And more than just reflecting on who is the creator and owner of time, the Lord our God, we want to ponder for our spiritual encouragement the blessed truth of our text that God makes everything beautiful in its time. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes from which our text is drawn is probably not one that we're real familiar with. It's probably not on our top five list of favorite Bible books. But since Paul wrote in Romans, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope, we can be sure that this is true also for the Old Testament Bible book of Ecclesiastes. There are important, comforting truths the Holy Spirit chose to be recorded there for our benefit. So we want to take a few minutes to consider just a few of the verses in our text for today. Verses, by the way, that are embroidered on another of our tapestries downstairs. First, the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, that would be King Solomon. Solomon, the one who, as you may recall, petitioned the Lord as he took up the daunting assignment of filling the shoes of his father David after King David died to Lord, bless me with a wise and understanding heart to govern your people in a godly way. Solomon, whom the Lord blessed not only with great wisdom, but also with an abundance of wealth, a long and prosperous 40-year reign, during which the kingdom of Israel reached its peak of political power in the world. Solomon, who, sad to say, succumbed to the bewitching influence of earthly riches, and whose heart turned away from the Lord in unbelief. But Solomon, who as an elderly man, sometime along the way of his life, was brought by God's grace back to the Lord in repentance, and was used by the Lord to provide the majority of those wise sayings in the book of Proverbs, one of which also is on a tapestry downstairs that was our text for Confirmation Sunday. Solomon wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways trust in him. He will guide your ways." Well, Solomon is the author also then of the book of Ecclesiastes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he was an elderly man, probably in his 70s or 80s. Takes a look back on his life and records some insightful words in regard to time. He says, "To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die." The Lord had brought Solomon back to this understanding with a heart of faith that the days of his life rested in the hands of his gracious Lord, just like King David, his father, had written in Psalm 31, "My times are in your hands, O Lord." Solomon knew that the Lord knew the exact amount of time that he was going to spend on earth. The Lord had knit him together in his mother's womb, knew his sitting down and his rising, understood all of his thoughts from afar. All the days ordained for Solomon were written in God's book before one of them ever came to be. My friends, that's true for all of us, of course, as God's people. Something we can draw rich comfort from when we get up in the morning, when we go through the minutes of our day and the days of our week, in the tasks and duties we undertake as students at school, as parents in raising our children, as spouses in your marriage relationship, as employees during your work day, when you lay down at night to sleep, be comforted to know my days and minutes, hours and years are all owned by my gracious Heavenly Father, the creator of time, and he promises to cause each happening in my life's timeline to work so that it serves for my good. When Solomon wrote, "To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up," he probably had in mind how the Lord of time, our gracious God, uses also the particularly difficult periods in our life for our blessing. Does the thought ever enter your mind, dear friends, when something troublesome and hard happens in your life? You're going through a rough stretch, a thorny problem, that you say to yourself, "Man, this is killing me." Well, the Lord uses those times also for a blessed purpose, to test us in our faith, to temper our faith and purify it, to battle test us and make us stronger Christians, to build us up in our reliance on the Lord, as he did, you know, the story of the patriarch Job in the Old Testament. And the patriarch Abraham, whom the Lord tested, go sacrifice your son on Mount Moriah, which Abraham went and did, and then the Lord held him back from slaying his son. But the Lord used that experience to battle test Abraham. Or Paul, his thorn in the flesh, probably said, man, this thorn in the flesh is killing me. And he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it away, and the Lord said, no, you need that so that you will then be stronger because you will be relying on me. Of course, the most beautiful application, my friends, of this Bible truth as recorded in our text, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to kill and a time to heal, to break down and build up, is God sending his son into the world at just the right time to be killed and then healed, that is, resurrected from the grave for our everlasting blessing. You know that Bible passage from Paul's letter to the Galatians, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. Paul wrote in Romans 5, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And think about the instances during the ministry of Jesus. He spoke about it quite a few times during the days as he headed towards Calvary, the years and months and weeks, like when the Feast of Tabernacles was drawing near, and his brothers, who were unbelievers, told Jesus to leave Galilee and go to Judea so that his disciples could see the miracles that Jesus had done. They wanted Jesus to make a splash as the king for this world, a bread king in the eyes of people. No, Jesus said, my time has not yet come. And when he then did go, and his enemies tried to seize him there during the Feast of Tabernacles, no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come, the Bible says. And when the time had come for Christ to be killed, Scripture records, he then steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. 5 days out on Palm Sunday, he said, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out when Christ would die on the cross and crush Satan, in answer to the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, to crush the devil. And then his prayer the night before in the upper room with his disciples, remember how Jesus prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So yeah, he is the Lord of time. And nothing that happens but what is ordained by him. He's the governor of the world and the former of history, and makes even that which is evil work out for the blessing of his people. Another great example of this, God makes everything beautiful in its time. Remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? I mean, who would have thunk that Joseph, being thrown down into a filthy cistern by his jealous brothers when he was a teenager and bartered off to passing by Midianite traders to head down to Egypt as a slave, would end up being something that was really, really good for him and his family. But it was. Joseph later on told his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Not only they're being saved from physical starvation and the terrible famine that struck the world at that time, but they're being saved from spiritual death when one of those brothers by the name of Judah would become an ancestor. He would not die of starvation. He would become an ancestor of the coming Savior of us all. And another glorious example of the Lord being the Lord of time, making everything beautiful in its time, we heard about in our Old Testament lesson, referring to that remarkable event from the life of Joshua, the successor to Moses. Not long after the Lord gave Joshua the victory in the Battle of Jericho, when he led the Israelite armies around seven times and the walls came tumbling down, we're told that five Amorite kings formed an alliance to fight against the Israelites. Joshua marched up against these kings and their forces with his best fighting men. All day long they marched to the place of battle, defeated them, made them run for the hills. And then the Lord provided Joshua and his fighting force with a total, complete victory and total revenge upon their enemies in answer to a prayer of Joshua by causing the sun to stand still in the middle of the sky and to delay going down for a full 24 hours to give Joshua and his army more daylight hours to totally destroy their enemies. The Lord of time, he caused the earth to stop spinning on its axis for 24 hours so his people could win that victory. It's a reminder, your Christian friends, in a very graphic way, that we can all count on the Lord to guide and direct all the days of our lives in a way that will be for our blessing. Sometimes we might wish that time would stand still, allow us to do more things, accomplish more stuff, enjoy more minutes of rest or sleep or vacation to decompress amidst life's pressures. Of course, that's not going to happen. But what will always happen, we can be absolutely sure of, is that the Lord of time, who is also the Lord of love, will for his mercy's sake bless us through his word with the resilience we need to cope and to meet every challenge to our faith. We can say with the Apostle Paul, God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? In all these things, all these challenges to our faith and troubles, the thorns that come our way in this world of sin, not just conquerors, the Bible word that Paul uses in that passage, super conquerors, more than conquerors through him who loved us, and nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, my friends, whenever you look at your clock, the clock on the kitchen wall, at your watch, or the home screen clock on your smartphone, or on the dashboard of your car, may you be reminded of this comforting gospel promise of the Lord, that he makes everything beautiful for his people, his believing children, in its time. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit